All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who is set for a very intriguing fight at BYB 17 Brawl at Rock Hill, which transpires May 13th, and coming after quite an emphatic debut, which is one of the things I'm going to be talking about for sure. We have Rashad Coulter getting out there into the mighty Trigon to test skills with Jordan Mitchell, and great having Rashad on the show. How are you doing there, man?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you very much for having me.
And just, you know, in talking about that debut there, I mean, that seemed like a big one for you and everything like that. It seemed like you really, you know, asserted yourself on the scene and everything like that, getting that first round finish over, you know, Quinton Domingos, and just a cool experience getting to go out there to Dubai and, you know, make a bit of history. So can you just talk about some of those facets, like, I guess, some of the main takeaways from, you know, the bare knuckle debut?
Yeah, man, for sure. It was, you know, it was a great experience, but I thank BYB for it. It was most definitely different. It was a new adrenaline rush for me. The size of the Trigon was new, and you know, the pace of the fight. It was all surprising, man, but it was a good challenge, and I loved it because it made me push myself. It made me find out, okay, this is areas of your game where you need to tighten up. So I'm always learning, man. It was a great experience for me to get out there and get my feet wet, especially being Dubai.
Yeah, I imagine most of that was, like, business-oriented, but was there a chance to kind of, like, check out the lay of the land and see a couple things while you were out there?
We went to the mall quite a bit. The mall was really nice, man. It, the world's largest mall. They had, like, the world's largest aquarium. They had a ski slope on the inside, so we got to see some of those things. But I didn't really get to, you know, get out and just explore Dubai how I wanted to. But I went there for a business trip, took care of business, came home.
And I'm curious, like, where things sort of stand after that debut, because it seemed like there was, like, some words being exchanged after the fight and everything like that, maybe a touch of initial perception of controversy. It didn't seem like there was controversy to be seen, I guess, after the fact, but it seemed like there was a little, you know, back and forth going on there. Is everything all squared away there? I saw you had a post talking about how you're kind of tired of the excuses and stuff like that, but are things all good now and sorted, or?
Yeah, well, for me, it's over with, because on my record, it says that I won first round, you know, TKO, so for me, it's over with. But, you know, after going back and watching the fight, I still just see where I won, you know, clean. So they haven't said anything to me about it. I understood that they were trying to protest it as a no contest or whatever. Whatever the case may be, that doesn't matter to me. But what I was saying to his corner and his coach at the end of the fight was, hey, man, what are you talking about? Like, let's look at the replay. Because at first, the controversy for them was first they tried to say I poked him in his eye. And then after they said I poked him in his eye, then they tried to say that I hit him when he was down. And so I was going back and forth to his corner like, hey, man, which one is it? Was it an eye poke or did I hit him when he was down? He was holding his neck. You know, so at first, that's why I didn't hit him when he first bent over, because he was holding his neck. And I thought something was wrong with the dude. So I was just being respectful and didn't, you know, hit him. And then his coach was trying to say that I poked him in the eye. Then after he seen that wouldn't work, then trying to say, you know, hit him while he was down. So it's over for me, you know. But I asked him, do you want a rematch? Do you guys want to fight again? What do you want to do? You know, and never did he ever say yes. And the ref asked him four times, do you want to keep fighting? He never answered the ref. So I won, so that's all I'm concerned about.
Yeah, it seems like you came out with, you know, minimal to no damage, just in the sense of being able to facilitate this pretty quick turnaround. Like, it seems like you're looking to be fairly active this year. Like, I saw a post where you were kind of saying you're staying one step ahead of Father Time and you're riding this fight game out this year. So it seems like you're really looking to be especially active in 2023.
Absolutely, man. You know, you're the only true person that knows when you're done and when you're finished or when it's time to hang up the gloves. And just like you said, man, yeah, I don't feel that yet, but I'm being smart. Like, I know for a fact that, you know, there's certain things that I can't do, or, but that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going out on my terms. I'm going out how I want to go out. I'm having success in boxing, and you know, I'm having success in BYB, which is, this is new for me, and I'm excited, and I appreciate BYB. You know, they were straightforward with me, and they was lenient. They said, hey, man, you know, we're going to do a little contract. You know, we're going to get your feet wet. And they was like, hey, man, we're going to see if this is something that you want to do. So I really do appreciate them for that. And as I am signed with BYB, and this is what I want to do right now. Like, this is what I feel like doing, and this is what I want to do, and this is what I'm going to do. But most definitely going to, you know, ride out on my terms in the sunset how I feel like I deserve to.
That's interesting. I don't want to misconstrue what you're saying. Like, are you almost saying that you're mostly going to be prioritizing the, you know, bare knuckle going forward? Because, like you said, you've got MMA and gloved boxing experience. But is the path going forward mostly, like, BYB Extreme /, like, bare knuckle boxing centric, you think?
No, because I'm very active in boxing. Like, I've had, like, two boxing fights in the last, you know, 4 or 5 months, and then I was about to have another one. So, no, I'm still going to be doing boxing, MMA, and these other sports, but I'm just saying I'm doing what I want to do right now. Like, so if I want to take an MMA fight, I'm going to take an MMA fight. If I want to take a boxing fight, I'm going to take a boxing fight. You know, bare knuckle is here. Like, you know, we're in agreement. Like, we're going to fight for them. Their fights take precedence, but at the same time, you know, hey, if guys want to fight me in MMA, hey, come on, let's fight. If they want to fight me in boxing, and I'm on the horizon for a title in boxing, so I'm just staying active in all three sports.
Yeah, well, I love to hear that, because I did see you had a post a bit before Christmas there talking about how you were missing MMA and looking to take an MMA fight after February 11th. So good to see that we're still, you know, multi-sport, you know, Rashad Coulter here.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Yeah, it's most definitely fun. You know, I know I can still compete with a lot of these guys, and that's what I'm proving. I'm testing myself in the boxing world. I'm not fighting slouches in boxing like a lot of these boxers do. I'm fighting guys who are better than me. They've come up through the amateur ranks. They got more wins than me. They got more wins and knockouts than I got actual total fights. So I'm taking tough boxing fights. But yeah, man, I'm still here to test myself. I'm a high-level athlete. The only difference is with age, what I have now is wisdom. And I didn't have this wisdom when I first started out fighting. I started out at 30 years old. I had my first fight at 30. And I never had any boxing background, no wrestling background, no jiu-jitsu background. I literally got off the couch at the age of 28 years old and started training, and I had my first fight at 30. And I still can compete because I'm still a student of the game. And now that I'm older, I'm able to let go of my pride and you know, and just that mentality, and have a lot of wisdom and be a student of the game and actually apply what I'm learning instead of having pride and just trying to go out there and do it on my own, because I felt like I got there on my own, you see?
And I love hearing that, because I was seeing you on Talk Tough with Aaron Tohill, and you were talking about how, like, maybe you jumped into the UFC, like, a touch too soon. Like, you weren't really getting fights as much on the regional circuit, and it was one of those, like, oh, you only have so much time, and you kind of, you know, popped into it and got under the bright lights. It's kind of interesting, because it seems like the maturation as a fighter is really, you know, settling in and has settled in across the last couple fights, few fights. Can you kind of, you know, speak to that and everything? Because it very much seems like everything's getting put together, both, like, physically and, I guess, mentally as well.
Yeah, for sure, man. I most definitely feel like I wish it, you know, the UFC would have gave me another opportunity. Because, you know, I've seen guys with worse records in the UFC than I had, and they got new contracts, and they were able to, you know, get new deals. And I just wish they would have taken into consideration, like I said, that I was actually, you know, growing up under the lights, and I did have potential. But, you know, for a lot of, you know, fighters, man, that's like heaven to them, right? Once they get to that level so fast. But now been but 18 years old in the UFC. So I most definitely, man, believe that I can still compete with a lot of these guys in the UFC on the big boxing stage. So whatever doors open for me to prove my skills and to show that I actually have grown in this game, man, I'm running through all those doors.
You know, it seems like you're still at the very least getting like different opportunities like presented to you that could, I guess, vault you towards that level. Like when I saw you were supposed to fight Christian Larson at Unified MMA 45, I was getting excited for that, especially as like a Canadian lad. I was like, oh, Rashad's gonna come our way. Like obviously that didn't pan out, but just even the fact that that bout offer, you know, came initially, I think really conveys a lot, because I mean, definitely like a bigger platform and could vault you towards that level. So it seems like you're still kind of, you know, in that conversation or those conversations, I guess.
This is true. And the thing is, with I got injured for that fight, and I'm thankful because people know when I come to fight that I'm going to put on the show. So I'm thankful for all those opportunities that I get when anybody that contacts me. But where I'm at right now is like, hey, man, I would love to be on these big shows. I would love to take these big fights, but just being older, like, just do me the courtesy of giving me the proper amount of time to get ready. Like, because you know I like to fight, and because you know I'm going to put on a good show, yeah, don't just try to use me to throw me in there on a short notice fight just because you know I'm going to get in there and fight. Like, don't do that. So those are opportunities that I'm noticing also that I'm staying away from, because I get a lot of those, and I don't take them. But yeah, man, most definitely. Like, I'm still in the talks. I'm still in the conversations. I just want people just to give me the opportunity. And it makes me feel really good, because in the short amount of time that I was in the UFC, I was able to prove to a lot of people, like, hey, man, like, this guy can fight. So I'm thankful for anybody that gives me those opportunities.
Yeah, and opportunities across a few sports, it seems. I saw you had a tweet earlier this month saying boxing title fight loading, so definitely interesting.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, man. So I got to get through this fight, and that's the problem with that one, is they want me to fight for the ABO title, but I'm having a hard time finding a promotion and a promoter to put the fight on, because it's got to be at least 8 rounds, and then, you know, I'm going to fight a good guy. Like, I'm not going to fight somebody that I'm supposed to run through. Like, it's supposed to test me in this area. So that's what we're waiting on right now. But most definitely, that will be my next boxing fight.
Well, that's awesome to hear. And I did want to get some bare knuckle insights from you, because you understandably seem very excited at, you know, partaking in this new sport. Like, you were talking on Aaron Tohill's show about like the importance of footwork in this new sport and the tight confines of the trigon, but also, I mean, different considerations with like shot selection and things like that. Like, what were some of the different considerations you had in bare knuckle boxing competing there as compared to maybe some considerations when in other sports?
For sure, man. It most definitely works on your defense, and what it showed me differently in MMA and boxing, which I already knew this, but seeing it firsthand, is there's very, very small margin for error. No matter how good your defense might be with gloves on, like, it just doesn't work in bare knuckle boxing. So it taught me, you know, be tighter on my defense. And it also taught me don't be a stationary target. But most importantly, what this teaches you fighting in the trigon is, man, if you didn't have footwork before, yeah, you better get some footwork in here, because it's very small, and you have to know how to maneuver around that ring, because you take 2 steps and you're against the ropes or you're in a corner. But it's very different. Like MMA, even when I, you know, fighting in the big show, like, there's a lot of space to move around. So if you're getting pieced up, like, part of your defense is getting out of the way of the shots with your feet. So you can have a lot of area to roam in MMA or even in boxing, but in here you don't, because it's so small. Like, there's nowhere to run to. So your defense has to be on point, and your footwork has to be on point.
And did you integrate any different elements to the preparations? Because, like, I know some people will, like, you know, punch sand or grab the rice or use, like, wooden Muay Thai boards, you know, create microfractures in their hands. Just a couple things off the top of my head. Did you kind of, I guess, amalgamate some of those things into your preparations at all?
Yeah, 100%. For me, you know, at my age, I'm doing more hitting the bat without gloves, just callousing up my knuckles. All the micro fractures, like I'm not doing that type of training no more. You know, for my hands, because the healing process for somebody that's older is I'm not like one of these, you know, 22, 23 year old guys. It's not going to heal for me as fast. But also at the same time, I am doing a lot of training bare knuckle, like, you know, trying out different wraps or tape jobs for the wrist, because your knuckles are exposed and you can't tape how you tape for a boxing fight or MMA fight. So there's certain things that I am doing. I do the rice training as well, working on the grip strength. But most importantly is a lot of punching the bag with no gloves.
Yeah, and I would feel like there would be a certain level of transferable skill too, because obviously your MMA background is well documented, but also some Muay Thai experience in recent years. So I think that would pay dividends to, you know, the active clinching and whatnot.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. Especially the Muay Thai training. You know, that was my first discipline. When I decided to fight, I was like, man, I can't learn all this stuff at one time. That was my thinking. So I was like, I'll go do one discipline and get very good at that. And that was Muay Thai. I started with Saxon Janjira. And he has one of the best, clinching techniques in the world. So working with him and training under him for a couple of years, and, a lot of guys like my guys, Charles Bird, and all these people, man, that Muay Thai background comes into effect, because it teaches that a lot of guys don't know how to fight at the clinch and off the cage. So yes, boxing and fighting on the ropes, MMA, fighting on the cage, the Muay Thai, clinching, all those have come into effect for bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah, I love to hear that. And just like in talking about this next opponent here, like, this would seem like a good one to, you know, get lined up with, like, just in the context of they were previously in a title eliminator with Tony Lopez, and like that 2-1, you know, bare knuckle record, nearly 40 MMA fights. Like, it seems like this is an opponent that could put you on a, you know, good trajectory in the promotion. Like, what were your thoughts when, I guess, the bout offer initially came your way for this one?
Man, it was funny, because that was one of the first fights that I watched in BYB. Of course, DJ Linderman, and then I saw the Tony Lopez fight and Jordan Mitchell fight, and I was like, man, obviously they had some beef. So, you know, then I watched his other fights as well. He's very aggressive. He has heart. And he's a great opponent for me because, you know, we both want to be alpha males there. We both want to, take dominion. So we're about to see, man. Like, we about to see. But honestly, I just think that I have a bigger heart, and I think that I'm the far, far better fighter than he is. That doesn't take away from his toughness. That doesn't what's up, baby? What's up, man? How you doing? That don't take away from his ability to knock people out, but I just feel like I'm a better fighter. I've been more tested all around. But I appreciate him, you know what I'm saying? I thank him for signing the contract. I thank him for wanting to test himself, and I have much respect for him.
Yeah, and just like talking about him previously being in a title eliminator situation, are you kind of looking at this fight almost as something that could, I guess, put you in that conversation to be a contender for DJ Linderman's title? I would think that would be like of a certain level of focus for you.
100%. I'm in the conversation, and I'm calling it. After I win this fight, wow. DJ Linderman, wow. I'm taking that belt from you, too. So he will be my next I mean, that I am in the talks. I am that guy. I will be the BYP Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, I love hearing that. And like I was kind of saying before, just to echo the sentiment of being mindful of your time, definitely want to, you know, let you go on with the rest of a presumably busy day. But it's been great getting to have you on and get some insights, man. But just wondering if there's maybe any like final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, though, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. No, you're not intruding, man. I'm just thankful. You know, I'm thankful to BYB Extreme for giving me the opportunity. I'm very thankful for these guys, man. They treat me very well. They're very transparent. So I'm thankful for them. Man, I'm thankful for my wife. Man, I love my wife. She's my wifeager. Says to say I don't take any fights unless I run it through her. You know, all my training partners up here, T-Mac Elite Training. I'm just grateful, man. I'm just thankful, man. And both of my sons, man, I love them to death. So I thank you, man, for giving me the opportunity to do the interview. I appreciate it, and it means a lot to me.
Oh, no problem, man. Great getting to talk to you. I've been watching your fights for, you know, a few years now. And, I mean, good shout-out to your sons there. They seem quite athletically inclined and their own regard, for sure. But very much excited to, you know, see your next athletic endeavor on May 13th at BYB 17. And to reiterate, thanks so much for coming on the show and giving such great insights, man. And just hopefully you have a good rest of your day too, Rashad.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you. You do the same, man.
All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BYB 17 Brawl at Rock Hill, and that goes down on May the 13th. And it's a very intriguing heavyweight clash as Jordan Mitchell gets into the mighty Trigon against Rashad Coulter, and great having Jordan on the show for the first time. How are you doing there, man?
I'm doing good. Enjoying this weather.
Yeah, it looks like a lovely day for sure, and just curious to get your insights on this because noticing it's just shy of a year since you last fought in Bare Knuckle. Obviously had a pair of MMA fights since then, but how does it feel to kind of be returning to the Bare Knuckle boxing fold for this one?
Man, it feels good, man, because, I mean, I've been trying to come back for a while now. I needed to redeem myself because I don't like how the last fight ended. So, you know, it feels real good to be back and get to show what I can really do in Mighty Trigon.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, specifically what you would be, I guess, looking to redeem. Like, obviously, the fight didn't necessarily go your way in, like, the binary of a win or a loss, but, like, was there something specific in that fight that you wanted to, I guess, redeem in this next performance?
Yeah, man, because a lot of people, like, they gave up on me, man. I feel like a lot of people did give up on me because, I mean, everybody was talking about me before, and now everybody just forgot. Like I said, everybody just forgot about me. And with the Tony fight, I mean, a lot of people didn't give me, you know what I'm saying? How should I explain it? Some people talk bad about me. They really didn't know what happened in there. I mean, my nose got broke. That first punch he hit me with, it broke my nose. I couldn't breathe the whole fight. So, you know, it's just, everybody keeps saying, he's out of shape. He don't want to take you serious. Yeah, I did take it serious. You know, I did fight with a lot of emotion. Get that back. But I was ready to go, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I was in shape for a good four or five rounds. I could have went. But after my nose got broke, I couldn't adapt to it, you know? And I just gave up. So I really just need to get back in there and show everybody what I'm really made of.
Okay, I can get what you're saying in that sense. I guess I'm wondering, though, I mean, even though, like we're saying, didn't necessarily pan out, I would think there'd still be some takeaways from something like that, just the experience of being in the inaugural BYB heavyweight title fight and fighting such like a well-versed combat sport veteran and Tony Lopez. So to that point, like, what were some of those, you know, takeaways you had from the last one, bare knuckle-wise?
I feel like I should have been moving more, and man, to be honest, I haven't seen the fight yet. I still haven't seen it, so it's really a blur. So I guess I gotta go back and watch it, but yeah, I have not seen the fight yet. But from what I can remember, I really wish I would have did more movement, and I hate talking about a fight, but really, I can't even explain it to you, man.
I mean, I get where you're coming from. I feel like this fight, though, is, you know, positioned well in a certain sense to kind of, like, I guess, reinsert yourself in that conversation, though. I imagine that's something you're maybe, I mean, not overlooking this particular fight, but maybe in a general, like, you know, goal-oriented kind of sense, like, maybe carving that path back to, like, a second crack at the title. Like, I would think a fight like this could serve you well in kind of climbing that hierarchy. Are you sort of looking at that as well without overlooking the particular opponent?
Yeah, of course. I hope it puts me back in line for a title shot. I mean, he's a former, he's fighting the UFC, you know, his name is out there. So, with a convincing win, I hope I do get Leonard Bennett. But if I don't get Leonard Bennett, I got my eye on somebody. So, I'm not going to say it yet until after I win. But then after that, I want to at least win the heavyweight title, then go drop down to cruiserweight, then drop down one more and get three belts. So, that's my goal.
Yeah, I mean, not to keep bringing up the Lopez fight, but I just think it's curious in the context of, you know, I heard Rashad Coulter on a podcast talking about how that was, like, one of the first couple fights that he had ever seen in BYB, and you really talked about the heart you had and, you know, the aggressive tendencies and everything, and really described you as a great opponent, but also in a respectful way, kind of saying he, at the end of the day, I guess, feels like he's the superior fighter and has the bigger heart despite, like, some of those, you know, characteristics of yours that he outlined. Like, I guess, what do you think about that characterization from him?
I mean, I've been in the game longer than him. I got more experience. And, I mean, if he going by saying he got more heart than me just that one fight, then he ain't seen me fight. So, I mean, it's nothing. I mean, people have got opinions. They can say whatever they want. You know, I respect him. You know, like I say, he's been in the UFC, can't have nothing but respect for him. So, I mean, we're just going to find out next week who got more heart and who's the more experienced, I would say.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, what you, I guess, think he brings to the table, because he's someone who obviously, you know, previously fought in the UFC before getting into this and everything, and he won his, you know, bare knuckle debut on the last card and stuff like that. And I mean, you yourself have, you know, close to 30 pro MMA fights. So, like, I guess, what are your thoughts on, I guess, his stylistic attributes? Like, he was talking about how you had a lot of heart and had, like, a level of, you know, dog in you, for, I guess, lack of a better way to phrase it. Like, what do you think he, you know, brings to the table? Like, what are some of his more, I guess, notable characteristics, I guess?
Yeah, he definitely, he got some fight in him. I mean, you know, I was watching when he fought that big dude. I could see he could take punishment and get, he's real fast for his weight, for his size. So that's what I paid attention to. So it's going to be interesting, because, like I said, I'm real fast, and everybody knows I bring the power. So it's divided. It's the same. But it's just who going to land first. That's what it's going to come down to. And who going to be able to take it and keep going. So, we're just going to find out what it is. But like I said, it's the same. We're the same to me, in my eyes.
And I'm curious, because I was seeing an older kind of feature that was done on you, so maybe this isn't the present situation now, but it was saying you were training out of pit bull fighting at the time. Is that the predominant space you're getting in work at here?
Yeah, that's where I'm here in Marion. I've been with my coach for 13 years. He's been there. He's been there since day one. And I go to train in Kokomo at Gar. So they got some good boxers up there. So I've been putting in work.
That's awesome. And in terms of, like, sparring partners, like, do you find you're able to get in work with, like, a certain amount of, like, heavyweight bodies out there? Or is it more of, like, a dynamic where there's, like, slightly smaller guys and you get, like, the speed benefits? Like, I guess, what's the, I guess, sparring partner range look like at that space?
There's, like, one guy, he's bigger than me. His name is Robert Duke. He's a state wrestling champ, but he is, like, a truck. He up there with me, the power. And speed-wise, I got a couple guys I train with. My corner guy coming with, his name's Kier Ross. He's pretty good. He's pretty fast, too. So I'm used to training with fast people. But here in Marion, I'm probably the biggest dude in my gym, so I like to go elsewhere to get the big bodies.
Yeah, and where are some of those other spaces? And I guess who are some of those bigger bodies you're mentioning?
Robert Duke, James Schaefer, he's real long and lanky. and shoot, God, another guy. He's a new guy. He's pretty big, like 260, 6'5". If I can't remember his name right now. And Jacob Herlock. He's a man. He's a coach of Gara in Kokomo.
And I'm curious about the, I guess, preparations relative to, I guess, the space you're going to be competing in, because the Mighty Trigon is such a unique space to fight in. Like, do you kind of create your own Trigon in the training almost to replicate that? Like, I've seen some people kind of, like, have, like, rope strung through a certain part of the ring to kind of replicate a triangle in their preparations. Do you do anything like that, or not so much?
No, I don't do all that. When we're sparring, we're just out sparring. I'm like, that gets your leg. It makes me work on my legs, strength, so I won't get tired just sitting, getting stuck, and I like to move around. So that's why I like. I don't like doing that old tight space, because, I mean, if I just do it in that tight space, I got to get used to it before I got to chase somebody, and my legs get tired, and I'm out of there. So I like training out in open space.
And kind of going back to referencing that previous article that was talking about where you were training at, like, it was asking your fighting style, and you were saying, I love to throw the hands, I call it, I just whipped your ass style. So to that point, how much are you loving this bare knuckle boxing journey? I would think it would be right up your alley.
I mean, you broke up, man. I couldn't even hear what you said for the last part. I couldn't hear what you said.
Oh yeah, no worries. I was just saying that
I didn't get to hear what you said.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was just saying in that previous article, it was saying that you described your style as, I just whipped your ass style. So how much does, like, bare knuckle boxing, like, fluidly fit into what you're doing? Like, it would seem right up your alley.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I've always been a stand-up fighter, you know. Like I said, I had 22-3 as an amateur, 19 knockouts, 13-16 as a pro, at 13 knockouts. So, you know, this sport was made for me. Yeah, I'm not a boxer. Everybody wants to say, oh, you need to be a boxer. But no, you don't have to be a boxer. Y'all can go in there and box with a top boxer and beat him. And it only takes one punch. Yeah, it's good to have the technique and all that, but at the end of the day, you know, we don't got gloves on. It ain't like this. It's a street fight. It's not a boxing match. So, it always works. It's going to work in my favor.
Yeah, for sure. And then, I mean, we were talking before about, like, the wealth of pro MMA experience you have. Also noticed there was a pro kickboxing bout, too. I'm kind of wondering, like, how does the preparation for bare knuckle boxing differ? Because I know certain guys will use the, you know, tactics like the wooden Muay Thai boards, or, like, you know, gripping rice, punching sand, things of that persuasion. Like, do you do anything different in your, I guess, bare knuckle preparations relative to other combat sports you've been in?
No, I'm the same. Like I said, I'm good with my hands, so I really, you know, I've been working on conditioning more than anything, because that's what I need. But, like I said, my hands is, you know what I'm saying, when I get in there, I'm going to do what I got to do. So, really, I don't change anything. I hit meds and stuff, you know, I'll spar, but I really don't do nothing else.
I mean, that's fair. Curious what you're doing conditioning-wise differently this time out, though.
Hitting the treadmill, running, getting on the bike. I try to do at least 5 miles. 2 on the treadmill, 3 on the bike. Then, yeah, that's really it. I'm gonna start adding swimming to my training. My coach wanted me to do it, but man, I'm not the best swimmer in the world, so we're gonna see how that goes.
Yeah, well, cool to hear you're adding that, you know, facet into this camp, or not adding it, but rather, I guess, increasing it in a certain regard. And I guess I'm kind of wondering, like, usually I'll talk to fighters and sort of gauge what they maybe get up to in their downtime. Like, do you have any hobbies or outside interests when you're not getting in that hard work in the gym, or is it mostly squarely focused on the fighting pursuit, largely?
Man, if I don't got a fight set up and I'm at home, I'm with my kids, man. I'm a straight dad at 24/7. So, you know, that's my hobby. I love being a dad. So, really, nothing else excites me. If it ain't fighting, I'm with my kids. So, I really don't do nothing else. And I mean, I have a job, but I'm just that's my hobby. Be with my kids.
Yeah, that's awesome. Are they kind of at an age where they sort of know what dad does professionally? Like, is it like a my dad can beat up your dad sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, my 2-year-old, he's been hitting my bag a lot, so I'm going to start teaching him here soon. My 5-year-old, she said, like, you going to go fight? You going to go fight daddy? And I tell her, and she don't like to watch it, but she'll sit there and scream at the TV. And my other kids, yeah, they're old enough to go, but my younger two really excite me because, you know, they're so young and they know. It's just crazy.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I love hearing that for sure. But like I was kind of saying from the top, I definitely want to be mindful of your time and schedule too. I appreciate all the great insights for sure. But just curious if there's maybe like a final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, Jordan.
Everybody just tune in May 13th. It's going to be a nice fight, man. I'm going to change something up going into the fight. So see if it works. If it don't work, then you're going to see the Berserker Jordan. And just be prepared, because somebody, one of us is going night-night. I know it's going to be him.
I mean, it's a very intriguing heavyweight fight against Rashad Coulter, and very much excited to check that out at BYB 17 Brawl at Rock Hill. And yeah, definitely counting down the days until May 13th to peep that. But until then, you have a good rest of your day there, Jordan.
You too, man. Thanks for having me.